Well, with a book title like this, and I will be very careful how I pronounce it. You'll see why in a moment. Let's just say we knew instantly we had to talk to the author. Un-F Your Life and Relationships. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. It's written by Anita Astley.
Thank you for doing that, right?
She's in Montreal for the launch of her new book. She has been a couples and family therapist for 25 years. She helps walk people through how to stop jeopardizing relationships and un-F yourself. Anita Astley joins us now. Hello, Anita.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thanks for your time today. So what's your connection to Montreal?
Well, I lived in Montreal, gosh, since I was, I think, six years old. And I did grow up listening to Aaron and Tessa Patikakis.
Oh, no. I mean, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Anita.
Oh, yes, I did. So I grew up in Montreal. I went to Concordia, then I went to McGill, and then I moved around quite a bit.
And you're still moving around, or where have you settled now?
I am now in Brookfield, Wisconsin, not too far from Chicago.
Okay. Well, welcome back home. Welcome back to Montreal. Thanks.
So I'll be in Montreal next week. Yeah, I'm super excited. It's my most favorite place in the world. So nothing like going home.
Oh, good. Well, so glad you're coming home. And I'm thinking about coming home for the holidays, and that the fact for the holidays can put a whole lot of strain on relationships, right? And just generally cause a lot of stress and anxiety. So maybe talk to us a little bit about some of the common issues that come up and how do we deal with them?
Holidays is one of those times where people are forced to get together with sometimes people that they don't necessarily want to be with, but it's because we're related to them.
Why are you laughing, Natasha?
Because we have to sit with them from across the table. And we just had Thanksgiving in the U.S., but I know Christmas is coming up, and that involves gifts and all that kind of stuff. But I always start off by telling you, if you're hosting the event, then you have to set some expectations for yourself that are realistic, and always ask other people to help out. And also just accept that nothing is going to be perfect. It's going to be a little bit beeped up, and that's okay. Take that pressure off of yourself. That's the number one thing you got to do. But also get your family on board. Talk to them about it. Sometimes it falls on one person, and it doesn't have to fall on that one person. Get your family involved. Everybody's going to be eating and drinking and doing and celebrating, so you shouldn't be the only one having to work for it all.
Can you almost form like a little coalition to say, okay, like that uncle is always a jerk. I need some help in managing him. Yeah, you can.
Absolutely. My approach is always to be upfront and direct with my family. And, you know, by now, you probably have hosted or gone to enough events that you know who the fire starters are. So don't place them together unless you want a fire and you want to have that kind of event. And some people do. And, you know, in the U.S., it's all the politics, you know, don't talk about Biden or Trump. So it's trying to navigate and negotiate what it is that you really want out of the event. And most of us want something that's peaceful and celebratory. Yeah. We don't really want to have a fight.
But don't you risk jeopardizing a relationship, though, if you kind of put that out in front before you even sit down to get together?
No, I think it's setting the rules. I think most people attend these kinds of events and we're friends with them. And sometimes it's Christmas and holidays, it's usually family, and we have enough experience to know. So my rule of thumb is let's set some basic ground rules. And sometimes I encourage people to put it on the invite. Hey, we just had Thanksgiving. We're not going to talk about politics at Christmas because it didn't go too well. And set the ground rules. It's okay to be direct and confrontational because sometimes people try to take multiple paths. I just say take the linear path, be open, be upfront, and set the rules, especially if you're hosting. You don't want that in your house. I wouldn't want it in my house.
I mean, I love this. You just said it's okay to be confrontational. I think we've all scored major points there.
Well, and I'm thinking in reality, those would probably be the memories, like the strongest, most memorable holidays that you've had are the ones where things have maybe gotten a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe you've been able to resolve it. So does it kind of boil down to just accepting that this is potentially going to happen and just roll with it?
Potentially it's going to happen, but everybody needs to decide whether they're going to engage or disengage. And I always think all year round, I tell people, you know, face your issues, confront them. But during the holidays, when you get into that kind of discussion with somebody at the table or at the party, you got to decide whether you're going to engage or disengage. And there's multiple ways of, you know, if we don't like the conversation, the way it's going, we can turn that conversation around by deflecting, you know, and I always tell people, use this phrase, that's very interesting. Oh, I think I'm needed in the kitchen, and make your exit, make your escape.
Perfect.
Get away from that conversation unless you do want to engage. But then, you know, don't make a scene. Nobody likes to have a scene at a party. Are you really going to convince somebody in 1 hour, a couple of hours, what they really think and feel about Biden or Trump? I mean, that's the hot topic here. You're not.
Never going
to
happen.
So you don't need to change anybody's mind or feelings or thoughts about anything.
By the way, I will point out, you know, that line about, oh, that's very interesting. Oh, I just remembered I need to go to the kitchen. Make sure you say kitchen and not bathroom, because they'll see through that. So just as a little tip
I don't know that they will.
I think they might.
And even if they do, isn't that
doesn't
okay? Because you're like, I'm just, okay, you know, yeah. I've become way less subtle. I like literally just say, well, especially because of what we do for a living, I'm like, I talk about that all the time in my job, and you know what, I'm enjoying spending time with you right now. Let's talk about something else. But what
I
don't
talk about it anymore. And you can also just like, hey, that's a great blouse, where'd you get it? Something different. Turn the conversation around.
These are good tips.
Sometimes people feel like they're being held hostage in a conversation. Well, you might feel that way, but you do have the power to get out of that conversation. It's just how you navigate and negotiate.
My God, are those new shoes?
I love it. Deflect. Anita.
I'm writing all this down. Okay.
I am too. I'm wondering, are we like sort of in a more hypersensitive stage or phase right now, like coming out of COVID, and maybe we've lost some of our social skills, or maybe we've just got a heightened sensitivity to some topics? Are you finding that we're maybe a little overreactionary?
Yes. We are, because we have, you know, when we go to events, parties, go to work, we get to rehearse our conversational skills. We get to rehearse how we're going to interact with people, especially the younger generation. I feel, and I have found in my practice since COVID, people have lost the art of communication. They're very good at Zooming. They're very good at texting and using devices to communicate. But there's this discomfort and a heightened sense of anxiety when we're going out to an event now, even though, you know, COVID is kind of over. But it's not really, because I'm seeing the residual effects, especially on young people, on how to reintegrate back into a room where we're not distancing anymore, we're not wearing masks anymore, and how do we rehearse just being ourselves? And for young people, it's identity formation. Part of being in a dialogue in a classroom or wherever you are, they're forming their identity, and part of that is through dialogue and conversation that's verbal and not used through media or texting. You know, that's the most common way young people communicate today, even older people. But we have to get back to having a conversation with somebody face-to-face, practicing. How do we talk to one another again? It's a challenge.
So I'm curious. So you do couples and family therapy. That's the business, if you will.
Yep.
How much of this comes up in your everyday with couples about this kind of stuff?
It comes up often, because, and I see what I really have been seeing, especially since COVID, we are the most connected globally, but we are the least connected with each other on an emotional, intimate level. And for any relationship to be healthy and to work well, long lasting, we need to be able to emotionally connect with each other. And that's not gonna, that usually doesn't happen over texting and using, technical devices, even though I'm all for iPhones and all that kind of stuff, and technology is amazing. It helps us survive COVID and any pandemics that will come, but we still need to get back to the basics of communicating with each other using words, language, being in the same room together. People don't often do that anymore. They're kind of still used to being locked up, and re-entering society again with a sense of comfort and confidence.
Well, the book is called Un-F Your Life and Relationships, How Lessons from My Life Can Help You Build Healthy Relationships from the Inside Out. Do you kind of tell a lot of stories about things that have gone wrong and how you fix them in your own life?
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to write this book, because I have been doing therapy for 25 years and asking people in my office to make themselves vulnerable to me. And sometimes, often people say, well, how would you relate to this? You look like you got your stuff together. And I think back, I'm like, no, if you had known me like 30 years ago, no way. I was a completely beat person, and I had to do certain things in my life to get to where I am today. So in this book, I highlight some of those experiences. And they're pretty intimate experiences to showcase that, hey, you know, you can have a lot of adversity in your life and you can turn them around. And then, you know, 25 years later, doing this as a professional therapist, I share those experiences because I want people to know that you can come out of that. Adversity does build resilience. And I also share 7 concrete things that I believe most people need to do in their life and their relationships to get back to the basics of life and love, because we've kind of lost our way. In a world where we're very connected, we are very also disconnected emotionally.
Well, I look forward to reading the book, Anita, and I hope you very much enjoy your time here in Montreal next week.
Are you doing a signing next week, Anita? Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be in St. Lazare where my brother lives, but I will be downtown because I'm going to be doing an interview on CTV, and I also do a podcast. Chris Niles and I collaborate on a podcast together. You guys know him. He played for the Habs, won the Stanley Cup. So I'll be meeting with him and then doing various other media events, and I'll probably go to McGill because it's my alma mater.
Do you have a book signing, an actual specific book signing?
Well, my company is working on it, but you guys want me to come in studio.
Maybe come see us next week. We'll work it out.
I want you to explain where you got the idea for the cover of the book because I'm looking at the picture now, but we can talk about that another time.
Next week.
No, seriously, you guys want to have me on? I'll be in town next week and I'll be free. And there's actually a big story behind the cover. It's
I mean,
that wreckage, right?
Fair enough.
We can talk about it.
You bet. All right. Anita, thank you so much. Best of luck. And then hopefully we can catch up next week.
Thank you, Aaron.
You bet. Anita Astley, the book is called On F, Your Life in Relationships. Anita Astley, Montrealer. Writing this book.